بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن وقال تعالى ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحكمة ضالة المؤمن وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله Most respected honorable ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The life that we are living is synonymous to problems, difficulties and challenges. There is no life in this dunya without problems, and problems cannot be divorced from this earthly life. A boy feels that success is a life without any problems, but a man knows that a successful life is a life where I am capable of navigating through my problems. Because this life, it's impossible to have a life in this dunya without any problems, challenges, and the ups and downs of life. This is part of the package of being in this dunya. Had we had a life in this world so perfect that there were no challenges, ups and downs, then what would be the yearning to go to akhirat? If everything was so perfect in this world, then there wouldn't be that burning desire and cry from the heart for a person to go to the next world and to be in Jannatul Firdaus. And that's the difference, that in this world there will be difficulties, there will be challenges. And in the akhirat, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There wouldn't be fear, grief, worry, concern. Man will just be enjoying the bounties and the boons, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in akhirah. So this life, it is about the ups and downs. If we look at the heart of a person, then the sign that a person is alive is the heartbeat. It goes up and it comes down. It goes up and it comes down. The moment it's stagnant and constant, it means that this person is about to die. Why doesn't he have a heartbeat? So this is life. Sometimes it is the up and sometimes it is the down. Spiritually, financially, in different dimensions and aspects of life, there would be the ups and the downs, and this creates the challenge for us to navigate and prove our worth, that who we are in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is it, if we look into society, then there is the scourge of divorce. Society and our communities are riddled with drugs, and the pandemic of disobedience is worldwide. How often isn't it that our family structures are fractured? There isn't that unity, that mahabba, that brotherhood, that spirit that the people of the past enjoyed, cherished and prided themselves with. They used to pride themselves with these qualities. Why don't we have it? Is we don't know how to deal with challenges. How is it that a couple get married and within 3 months already the divorce is being signed? How is it that the child is born and the girl gets her divorce after the child is born? Yet we thought that that child will be the bond between the parents. Had there been a problem, it would have been solved with the child. Maybe the child would have been that union, that bonding block between the two of them. And how often isn't it that we hear of disobedience between, against the parents? Child is being looked after, spoiled, pampered by the parents, and the same child is disobedient to his parents when they are old. We want such a perfect life that had there been anything to move away from routine, now it's difficult to move, to navigate, to solve the problem. And remember, having a problem is not the problem. The problem is we don't know how to solve it. That is the problem. And no problem is small. Every problem has to be addressed, solved, and taken care of. فَإِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. Because a mountain is from pebbles. Every pebble put together makes a mountain. And suddenly we see down the line, at times after 30 years and grandchildren, now there's a divorce. What happened? Now that same old man is talking about the problem when he got married. When I got married, Maulana, this was... hold on, you're 50 years old. What are you talking about that time? See, that wasn't solved. It was just brushed under the carpet. So whatever problem we are encountering, whether it be marital, whether it be with our children, whatever it may be, we need to address it, solve it, and see to it that it's all taken care of. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day one sahabi, there was this norm and practice among sahaba radiallahu anhum, was permissible, that during the salah you could talk to someone. In the salah you can ask him, is my car parked okay? Can hear that hoot, it's fine. And then the salah continues. And suddenly this sahabi was not aware of the fact that speaking in salah is abrogated. He comes into the masjid unaware to the new ruling. And he comes into the masjid and he's making ishara to someone like, Assalamu alaikum. And someone give him big eyes. They keep quiet. And he says, what happened like? So he says, you know, they're making like, they keep quiet. So eventually he continued, he's talking, what's happening guys, like something new. He continued with his salah, he's talking, no one's responding. At the end of the salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ain al mutakallim, someone was speaking in the salah. The sahabi said, yes, it was me, I spoke. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come forward, what happened? He says, I'm making salam, I'm greeting, I'm talking. These guys are giving me big eyes, they keep quiet and don't talk, and what's wrong? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat him down, he says, oh my sahabi, we used to speak in salah, but now speaking in salah is no more permissible. Salah is about dhikrullah, we remember Allah, tilawat of Quran. Our occupation is communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in future we won't do that inshallah. And Nabi Sallam spoke to him with love, with compassion. This sahabi says, wallahi, he takes a qasam. مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. I haven't seen an instructor and a teacher, an educator, person who can give lessons, a life coach, better than Nabi Sam before him, after him, and I'll never see someone. I did something so abhorred, so wrong, yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to me so gently, so loving, oh, you didn't know, it's okay, it's fine. So there would be sometimes challenges in the masjid, someone's talking, there would be. But how you address it is important. How you address the problem with someone to say, listen brother, we need to be careful, cognizant, aware of the fact, it's the house of Allah, it's the masjid, etc. So problems are problems, but how we deal with it is important. So sahaba radiallahu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thought this message in a very good way. So in our structures, whether it be in my small family with the wife and the children, whether it be the more immediate family, the bigger circle of the family, at whichever level, we have to know how to deal and handle with situations. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that ability, that wisdom, that hikmah of how to deal with situations. A person committed adultery, he was a zani. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, confessing in front of him, I committed zina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam four times turned around. Eventually on the fourth time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, "Do you know what is zina?" He says, "Yes, I know." And then he elaborated to explain to Nabi Sallam, "I did the actual deed which is haram, which a man will do with his wife." Nabi Sallam said, "Okay, you understand the definition. We'll have to give you the legal penalty, and that is stoning to death. You're a married man." So as they take in him, Sahaba radiallahu anhum are pelting him with pebbles, with stones, etc., that led to his mouth and to his demise. But two sahaba said something about him. Two sahaba said something. And they said, "Satarallahu alayhi." Allah covered his sin, he came and exposed it. No one knew he committed zina. He came and confessed. There were no witnesses. You require four witnesses, no witnesses. Yet he came again and again, and he confessed, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now stoned him, and he got stoned like a dog. So at that moment, he didn't say anything. But he made a mental note that these two sahaba said something about this person who committed adultery. And Nabi Sallam continued on the journey. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued, they passed by Bijifati Himar, the corpse of a dead donkey. So Nabi Sallam said, "Where's those two sahaba that spoke? Two sahaba just spoke just now. Where are they?" So the two sahaba said, "Yes, it's us. We spoke. Nahnu dhan." So Nabi Sallam said, "Ma niltu ma." Nabi Sallam said, "Please inzila. Fakula min jifati hadha al-himar." I want you to come down and eat from this dead donkey, the corpse of it. Sahaba said, "How can we eat of this? It's a donkey, number one. Number two, it died a natural death. We cannot eat of it. It's carrion." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ma niltuma min irdi akhikuma anifan ashaddu min akli minhu." What you just said, your statement about this person who got the punishment due to committing adultery, what you said by attacking his integrity, that is worse than eating from this donkey. You should have rather just adopted silence and kept quiet. But the method of how Nabi Sam taught the lesson, he kept quiet. At that moment, he didn't say anything. And Nabi Sam waited for the opportunity. When the opportunity had come, then Nabi Sam says, "Right, this is the time now to make the tarbiyah, to make the islah, and to the reform this mistake and this error of the two sahaba radiallahu anhum." And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says amazing regarding the zani to complete the hadith. "Innahu al-ana fi anhari al-jannati yanghamisu fiha." He got the hiding for adultery and zina, yet he is in the rivers of Jannah, diving and enjoying the rivers of Jannah. You may think otherwise of him, but he's enjoying the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in the rivers of Jannah. The lesson for us, never ever, we will say it in English, judge a book by its cover. Never look at a person and look down upon any person, irrespective of the sin he has committed. Whatever you heard, whatever you saw, whatever we know, we don't know what's going to be his tomorrow. Your today may be better, but his tomorrow may be better than yours. And your tomorrow may be his today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and that ability that we know how to navigate through situations. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught that lesson. A sahabi comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "I want to go in jihad." So the first question Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks him, "Awalidaka hai?" Your parents are alive? So he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Yes, they are alive. They require my services, my khidmah." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Okay, you've got this josh, you're very eager, you're desirous to go for jihad, all in its place, and your parents are dependent on your khidmah and services." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi didn't tell him, "How can you go? You shouldn't go." Look at the answer Nabi Sallallahu gives him. Nabi Sallallahu employs wisdom and he says, "Fafihima fajahid, O my sahabi, your jihad is in serving your parents. That's your jihad. That call of the hour for you now is serve your parents. You'll get the reward of a mujahid. You don't need to go out in the path of Allah. No need to hold your soul in your life. Serve your parents. You will get that reward of a mujahid out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Sometimes we read certain ahadith in isolation and we don't understand them. But that is what we need to get to, is the mizaj of Sharia. That what is in the best interest of me? One story, or I may know one directive, instruction, sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what is the best in my situation? That is something not every one of us are vested to understand. We have to go to someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with a holistic view of the Sharia to guide us. Example, one person, he came across, he was reading some Islamic literature, he read one incident, and he came and he's complaining, "Mufti Sahab, my son just never listens to me." What happened? "Don't listen to me. You only need to tell him that incident." "Which incident must tell him?" He says, "Umar radiallahu anhu, didn't he tell his son, divorce your wife?" And he didn't. The son Ibn Umar didn't divorce his wife. He says, "My father, I'm not going to divorce." Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the Nabi, he says, "Ya Rasulallah, I'm telling my son to divorce his wife. He's not listening to me." So Nabi told the son, "You must divorce and listen to your father." So the son gave the divorce. "So I'm telling my son, he's not listening to me." So he's looking at one incident in isolation. But hold on, "Father, are you Umar radiallahu anhu? And did you take your advice from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Because Nabi sallallahu had the situation in front of him. And he trusted this father. And he says, whatever he says, he's going to be correct. Because I've got such trust on Umar. لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ Umar. Had there been a Nabi after me, you'd have been Umar radiallahu anhu. I trust his decision. So are you that personality? No. So how do you expect your son to just do whatever you say when it comes to this situation at hand? Anyway, whatever be the situation, one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we're speaking about how to deal with situations, sometimes we feel we have to take the bull by the horns. Whatever, whoever, wherever it may be, no, Mawlana, sort it out. Call a spade. Don't feel shy, sort it out. But now, understand what the situation, make mashwara, speak to seniors, speak to an alim of your choice, get some directive as, and give a holistic view to say, this is the situation, how do I navigate through? Imagine Uwais Qarni, rahimahullah. He lived in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had that opportunity to embark on the journey to Yemen. He would have become, instead of rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu. But he sacrificed that journey from Yemen to Medina Tayyibah. And he did not become a sahabi. He remained rahimahullah. Uwais Qarni rahimahullah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told sahaba radiallahu anhum, "Inna khayra tabi'een Uwais min Qarn." Amongst the best of the tabi'een would be Uwais from Qarn. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "O Umar, the day you meet him, ask him to make dua for you. O Umar, when you meet him, you make dua, ask him to make dua for you." So whenever the delegations would come from Yemen, then Umar radiallahu anhu used to ask them, "Is there anyone from Qarn?" And he would investigate, find out, "Anyone from Qarn?" And eventually, after many delegations had come, one of the caravans, one of the groups said, "Yes, there is a person. Can you call him?" He comes forward. He says, "Are you from Qarn?" He says, "Na'am." He says, "Masmuk, what's your name?" He says, "Uwais." He says, "Okay. Halaka walida, you got a mother?" He says, "Yes, you got a mother. Did you have leprosy? Hal kana bika bayad? Do you have a white spot on your body?" So he says, "Yes, I had leprosy, these white spots. I made dua to Allah, فَأَذْهَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَنْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed it. إِلَّا قَدْرَ الدِّرْهَمْ fi surrati, except one small spot, the size of a dirham, like an old 1 rand coin. That's about it around the navel area. Besides that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me shifa. He says, please make dua for me. Please. Umar radiallahu anhu is telling Uwais Qarni, make dua for me. Fastaghfirli. Uwais Qarni says, Umar, I have to ask you to make dua for me. You, Umar radiallahu anhu. I'm Uwais Qarni rahimahullah. I'm nobody. He says, no. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I'm going to meet Uwais al-Qarni. When I do meet him, and these are his signs, he took care of his mother, he sacrificed coming to Medina Tayyibah, becoming a sahabi, to serve his parents. Oh Umar, his du'as are accepted. His du'as are accepted. He had to serve his parents. At times we become so involved in our world, of acquisition and accumulating, we forget to serve our parents. We feel, but Molana, how am I going to see to their needs? I have to pay the medical bills. I have to see to their comforts in life. But the real comfort is the comfort of the heart, not the money. A time will come with the parents. You can splash me with the best of the world. It's not going to mean anything. But oh my better, the day you sit in front of me, it's all smiles. The day you come and you just have a meal with me, that's all. You know, I know you got a very busy schedule, but you take the time to come sit with me. I appreciate that. That's what I want. So sometimes we have to understand, we have to use how to navigate through our problems. Sometimes we'll fight with the father, whoever it may be. But Ya Uwais Qarni rahimahullah, his du'as are accepted, ready for the khidmat of his parents. And he sacrificed that opportunity to go and see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi Sam says his du'as will be accepted. Abu Basir rahimahullah, and then we found the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. One amongst the incidents was, as they were drafting up the treaty, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was written, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kufar says, no, we cannot sign a treaty because that is one of the points of dispute. We don't accept you to be the Rasul of Allah. Please erase that. Take it out. Remove it. So Ali Radin says, I cannot do that. I don't have the courage to even remove the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ali, remove it. I command you to do it. Anyway, he showed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, erased it. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Whether they call me the Rasul of Allah or not, I'm still the undisputed Nabi of Allah. I am still Khatamun Nabiyin. Let's take it out. I don't mind losing the battle to win the war. It's fine. Sometimes short term, we will sacrifice that achievement for a long term relationship, for a long term benefit. And this is what we would see in the older generation. That had there been some family, close, relative, neighbor, then you'll notice when they will bring the goods, it's no delivery. But today the son will put, Papa, petrol is expensive. How can you not charge them delivery? They'll put delivery. Papa, I used to do that. You used to do that. Now we can't do that anymore. But they knew that the relationship was more profitable than the money. I'll sacrifice that 50 rand or 70 rand. Don't charge them for it. At times we'll give them to cost. Not cost, we'll match it and below cost also. Because those are our relatives. That's blood. You can't put a value to it. But that's what the older generation knew. Today we're so worried about acquisition, upgrading our life, we forgot what it means to have family around us. As long as we're getting that extra buck. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. How do we navigate through problems? Anyway, Abu Basir rahimahullah, he at Sulul Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is being signed. He comes and he throws himself in front of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he puts a pity card. He says, Ya Rasulallah, I'm a Muslim. Are you going to return me to the kuffar? Because that's one of the clauses. We have to return. Any kafir wants to become Muslim, we cannot entertain him. Any kafir becomes Muslim, we will not entertain. He has to come back to the kuffar and the disbelievers. But if a Muslim comes to the kuffar, he stays. So Abu Basir comes, he says, Ya Rasulallah, I'm a Muslim. I really want to become Muslim. Are you going to return me? Sahaba says, Ya Rasulallah, you can't return him. He's a Muslim. Nabi Sam says, but there's a treaty in place. Nabi Sam negotiated, he tried. But it fell on deaf ears, they didn't want to budge. Nabi Sam said, no problem. It's all fine. It's okay. Abu Basir, go back. We will sacrifice this battle for the war. Abu Basir eventually runs away from Makkah Mukarramah. They take him back. They say, you have to remain a kafir. He runs from Makkah Mukarramah. He settles in an area, coastal route, which was the trade route of the Kufar to Syria. And he would ambush, trouble, instigate those caravans, those trade caravans. Kufar came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, please do us a favor. He says, yeah, what favor? Tell Abu Basir, come to Madinah Munawwara. Tell him, please, he can come in. He's affecting our business. So Nabi Sallam said, no problem. Abu Basir, come in. But at that moment, Sulhul Hudaybiyah, Nabi Sallam says, I will accept it, Abu Basir, please go back. The day will come, Allah will bring you back. Don't worry, it's okay. So that's the lesson. Sometimes we don't know how to navigate through problems. How often isn't it a case that the children are disobedient? They don't know there's a problem. He can't navigate out of the problem. Sometimes they don't know how to address the problem. Sometimes they don't know how to even speak about the problem. And silence in the house does not mean a peaceful house. When everyone is comfortable to speak around each other and they find themselves in you, that's peaceful. When anyone can come and say, Papa, this is my problem, can you help me? When someone can come and say, Mommy, I'm having this trouble, it's troubling me, this is an issue. The girls in the class are telling me this, the boys in school, they are troubling me and saying that. How often isn't it the disobedience is because of some pressure? They don't know how to deal with something. They don't know. Sometimes the child is, he doesn't know how he's crying. Maulana asked him in class, what you crying for? He says, Maulana, I don't know how to deal with it. Deal with what? He says, no, my father met up in an accident. He's on clutches. But now my friends are laughing at me. He says, see, your father can't run. Now that child can't perform in class. He's crying, can't learn sabak. But something happened. And he's scared to tell his father. Doesn't have that relationship. It's not a good relationship in the home. Everything is time to time. He says, I'm busy with my work, right? You do, Umi will do your homework. So he says, I can't even talk to my father. Because of which it makes it difficult for him even in his journey. So whatever be the issues in our homes, we must be able to speak about it. And not everyone is capable of solving his problem on his own. Sometimes we have to go to the seniors, to an alim, to someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with some wisdom in society as an alim or other, but someone who's got wisdom. And wisdom you can't learn from a book. You can't pick up any kitab and learn wisdom. Hikmah and wisdom is something that comes with time, with age, with experience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. This is how we will be able to protect our children from drugs, from divorce, from problems, from, you know, creating issues in the families. When we know how to navigate through problems, life is synonymous to problems, but we have to learn how to deal with the problems. And so sweet is the life of a child. You know, when you're young, you say, hey, headache now, there's exams. I wish this year can come to an end, only to realize he's got final exams. Then he wishes, hey, this exam's over, right, I'm free. It's the next exam. Then he say, my problems will end of metric. Grade 12, my problems will end. You know why? No more exams. Then he goes into varsity. He says, hey, you know what? Once my examination of varsity are over, life starts. No trouble in life. Then he gets married. He says, oh my. Let's wait for the children to come. Then the children come. He says, maybe the grandchildren will bring me peace. And you are just going in a rut, rigmarole. And those problems haven't ended because the problems will come to you in different shapes and forms. But the problems are not going to hide. They're going to face you, they're going to come to you. That child wishes, I wish I was back in school, man. I was writing that exam. Now in life and I got bigger problems and there's a bigger world to worry about. Because that's our mind. Sometimes we're postponing happiness. We delaying happiness, we shoving out happiness because we cannot face the problem. The moment you tackle the problem, you face the problem, you solve the problem, you'll see happiness behind every problem. And Allah wants to give you happiness, but it comes with the challenge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah subhanahu wa ta'ala.